welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California. How is everyone doing? DDP is in the chat room. I hope DDP is not the only one in the chat room. Oh, boy. Because I tell you, it's just one of those things that really, really gets to me, is that I have to rely on you guys to find out if there's more than one person in this chat room. So, I tell you, it's crazy. It really is crazy. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got another packed Christmas show. You know, in trying to figure everything out this week, trying to just elaborate on a lot of things revolving around the world of sports. Craig Brooks, of course, he just informed me a little while ago, like 5 minutes ago, that he will be listening to the show from the library today there in Illinois. So, I can't begin to tell you anything more than I already have. And it's crazy, because today we're going to be talking about how the Grinch is coming. No, I didn't say Santa Claus. Santa Claus will be here in a few weeks, though. For all of us, that is. But like I said, you know, today's subject is the Grinch is coming, or you can subtitle it, you know, Christmas that didn't work. Because these next few shows with WWE coming up, it's not looking good. They ruined the whole thing. They really have. And I'll explain a little bit more of that later on, about how that all came about and how much trouble they are in this Sunday. Because it just... I swear, it's good for business, the things that they're doing, the talent that they're bringing in. As Triple H always says, it's good for business. But, you know, everyone can also assume more of their own responsibilities as time goes on and we get ready to end the year. And I think we have a guest in the chat room. I'd like to welcome guest 364 into the chat room. I'm not really sure where Eric Williams is at. Maybe he's the guest in the chat room because he said he would not be able to call in for the show today. So, as always, well, on occasion I fly solo. That's okay. That's the way it works on my show here. You know, I feel so bad about doing this with Eric not on the line and not in the chat room. As they always say, the show must go on. So, ladies and gentlemen, stick around because for the next 2 hours, although to some degree, we'll probably end a little early today. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Did you hear the rumor about Jim Harbaugh? I heard it here on the local news. And I thought, that's very funny. Although the news media guys here in my area, they didn't sound too sure of themselves and about Jim Harbaugh and what I heard. And I'm not really going to mention it because if everybody else knows about it, then it would ruin the whole thing. So we'll just do it after our NFL pick. Eric Williams, I'm sure you're listening, so you can go off of this for next week. That way, of course, he can come back and he can tell me exactly from my notes that I have here in my hand who he had picked for this week. He can mention that next week. But here we go. This week, ladies and gentlemen, Washington, they are 3-10. Atlanta is also 3-10. Washington will be in Atlanta this Sunday. And, well, I have to tell you, with two teams going in with even scores of 3-10, Matt LaRoscio, Kyle Green, all these other guys are now going to have to step up as a result of what took place on Sunday. So many Redskins players were injured. Mike Shanahan was even expressed his theory on what will happen now. Some insiders are even speculating that Mike Shanahan could be fired immediately following Sunday's game. But, of course, that's just pure speculation. But since both these teams have even scored for this Sunday, Eric Williams, you can pick the opposite team. Because I'm going to go with the latter. I don't want to say I firmly believe in what the Redskins are doing and how they've been performing, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Washington this week. Of course, this Sunday is also, San Francisco and Tampa Bay. San Francisco will be at Tampa Bay. They'll be in Tampa Bay this Sunday. The 9-4 San Francisco Niners against the 4-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another team that has the same record. And a lot of people weren't aware of what it really meant for the Niners to play their last game last Sunday. I know everybody's like, wait, what? What do you mean they're playing the last game? You just said they were playing this Sunday. They are. They're trying to create a special berth for them to at least get to the playoffs. And if they do get to the playoffs, then they have a huge chance, a huge opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. But what I meant by that is a lot of people weren't aware that last Sunday was the 49ers' final game ever. It was their last game, not of the year, not of the season, but at Candlestick Park. It's a momentous, a milestone for them. But, of course, there were, some people walking around sad after the game, and they still couldn't believe it of what took place. But then again, they wanted a new stadium anyway. So now, and plus, they want to move all the way. I'll just tell you now that since I live here in California, I know all about this. They want to move to Santa Clara County. Now, Santa Clara is, of course, right next door to my hometown where I was born, San Jose, California, which means, for me, and since I have family there, it's a 45-minute drive. So they want to go 45 minutes away. They found this huge space that they could use next to Great America. We do have a Great America here in California. That's good. But the point is, they wanted to move all the way over there. But now it kind of dampens the city of San Francisco because, on a quick side note to the city of San Francisco, now they have two San Francisco stadiums that belonged to the Niners. The first one was from 1987 to 1995, and then from 1995, they left that stadium and went to the other side of downtown San Francisco, more upscale for them, to this Candlestick Park that they've been playing at for the last 18 years, and now they're leaving that. I wonder what the city of San Francisco is going to do. They're probably not going to knock it down either. Hell, they still got the other ballpark not being used, but we'll see what happens. Of course, I'm going with Tampa Bay. Eric can pick the other team, the other guys. Arizona at Tennessee. Arizona is 8-5. Tennessee is 5-8. Kind of an odd even number for both teams, wouldn't you say? But I'm going to go with Arizona. I know DDP in the chat room is taken back by that. You're going with Arizona. What about Tennessee? I don't see a lot of faith in Tennessee. You talk about poor playing. You thought the Redskins were playing poorly. No, Tennessee did. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel about that. New Orleans will play St. Louis. New Orleans is 10-3. St. Louis is now 5-8. Could New Orleans score a playoff berth for being 10-3? I'm going to go with New Orleans. Eric Williams, I know you're listening. Take notes. I'm sure he has been. Seattle will play the Giants. Seattle Seahawks are 11-2. The New York Giants are 5-8. As bad a record as that is for the Giants, I'm going to go with the Giants. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Chicago, this is for all my friends, Matt Broderick, Corey, and the rest of you in Chicago in the Windy City. They are playing the Cleveland Browns. Chicago is now 7-6 against Cleveland's 4-9 team. I'm going to do Chicago a favor. All of Chicago, if you win, you know where to send my Christmas presents, okay? So I'm going with Chicago. I think they can do it this week. They didn't do it last week. It was a little tough for them. But, yeah. Next, we have the Indianapolis 8-5 Colts against your team, DDP. Houston, who is 2-11. That's a very bad record, DDP. I'm very sorry. But, you know, once again, I'm going to help DDP out. I'm going to cheer for Houston as well. Eric Williams can take that into consideration by cheering for Indianapolis, along with Craig Brooks and the rest of my Indianapolis friends. I'm sure they're very upset with me on that. Buffalo Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Buffalo is 4-9. Jacksonville is also 4-9. These two teams have been, you know, eyeing each other, trying to catch each other at just the right moment. But I think it can be done because I'm going with Jacksonville. There, I said it. I said it. New England will take on Miami. New England is 10-3. Miami is 7-6. I'm not one for partisans here with all that, so I'm going to go with Miami. I really am. I'm going to go with Miami. Philadelphia will take on Minnesota. Philadelphia is 8-5. Minnesota is 3-8. Excuse me. Minnesota is 3-8. I'm going to go with the Vikings on this. The Jets will take on Carolina. The Jets are 6-7. Carolina is 9-4. I'm going with the Jets. I've miscalibrated the Jets last week, and it didn't work out too well for me, just like my Raiders haven't. As more people are listening, no doubt. Kansas City, speaking of my boys, Kansas City, who is 4-9, will be taking on my 10-and, actually my Raiders are 4-9, excuse me. They were taking on the 10-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, I have no choice but to go for my Raiders. That's the way I'm rolling. Green Bay will take Dallas on. Green Bay is at Dallas. Green Bay is 6-6. Dallas is 7-6. I'm going with Green Bay on this one. I don't know why I'm feeling like going with Green Bay, but I am. Cincinnati will play Pittsburgh. Cincinnati is 9-4. Pittsburgh is 5-8. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. You notice I didn't even stop and think about that one there. Baltimore will take on Detroit. Baltimore is 7-6. Detroit is 7-6 as well. When you put these two teams together, you get a somewhat of a mixed reaction from fans and from people because of the way that both teams play. Baltimore sometimes plays dirty. Detroit likes to play clean. I'm going to go with Detroit. And yes, Eric Williams, I know you're listening. That is, as they used to say on television, that is my final answer. That is my final answer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a good time here on the Sports Opinion Show. Talking about everything today. We're going to get into our subject a little later on, that the Grinch is coming. I'll explain more. Like I said earlier, I'll explain that a little later on. But first, right now, very quickly, like I said earlier, have you heard? I'm not sure if it made television headlines anywhere else, but I know for a fact it made headlines here in my area. We're watching the local news on Wednesday night. So it's only a few days old. Well, if it's only a few days old, then chances are this hasn't reached your area. You probably haven't even heard about it. But it was hilarious, at least I thought it was funny, when the local newscasters here in my area explained something that would be unheard of. They said there's a rumor going around, a small rumor, that Mr. Jim Harbaugh will be leaving the Niners. They said it could happen today, tomorrow, or in the next 2 weeks. Because some are feeling that he's being deprived of not being himself. I think Jim Harbaugh, I'm even though I'm not a Niners fan, but I just think that he's doing a great job. He is being himself. I mean, a few weeks ago, the ESPN guys, when they were calling the game, I said that, you know, he's got the many faces of Jim Harbaugh. And it's funny because when you watch him on the sideline, he can be yelling 1 minute, crying with the referee the next. No, come on. You know that was a penalty. You know damn well that was a penalty. Being happy. Yes. All right, we scored a touchdown. Good job, guys. Good job. Keep it up. Defense, you're doing a great job out there holding them down. Or he could be downright emotional on anything that's not football related, but the cameras still manage to catch him doing these random things. And it's just, but would Jim Harbaugh actually leave? I thought of this question after the news report had went out and when they went to commercial. I said, really? But this question came to mind, and I've kept the question. I've saved it. I wrote it down right away. That way I won't forget it. And the question is this. Do you guys really think, would Jim Harbaugh actually leave the Niners high and dry in the middle of the season? Especially when they're doing so hot. They're doing very well. As I said at the top of the show, when I said that some NFL teams are clinching their berth of a championship. And this is one of those teams. But if you're going to leave your team high and dry, the next one to step up would be the assistant coaches, and they would have to definitely make some coaching changes. If Jim Harbaugh wants to leave, because some are feeling that, like I said earlier, he's not himself. He's not. He doesn't feel like himself. He feels like he needs to go to college football. Well, I understand those feelings. We all get those feelings from time to time. Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Did I say the right thing to DDP? Of course, I'm just using DDP as an example. Or, like, sometimes it might be like, well, I really shouldn't have told DDP that on social network. I wonder if I pissed him off. Do we always have second thoughts? My thinking about this is, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, and if I am having thoughts of leaving my 49ers team high and dry in the middle of the season, when they could reach a playoff berth, which could eventually lead to another Super Bowl win. Or do I worry about that after the season is over? I'm sure most of you have agreed that B is the correct answer. A would be really, really stupid because you just left the team high and dry, and there goes the team. And that's the way it goes. I can't begin to tell you about that because more so than others would know. That's the way I think. I think that that's what needs to happen. If he is thinking about it, he definitely needs to go with option B, which is wait till after the season is over. Sit down with the owners and other coaches in the organization. Find out what's been happening, how well you think the Niners did this year. And if a problem arises or a situation looks bleak for you as an NFL head coach, then that would be the right time and the right place to say, I need to step away and I feel the need to go coaching at some random college. I don't know. Maybe Santa Clara State, since he's here in California. Maybe San Jose State University. Somewhere. I'm really not sure what he would actually do with these rumors that are popping up now. But like I said, that's what they are. They're just rumors. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go to commercial break, I just have to say one thing to my friends in the group. I know they'll appreciate this. I know this group member will appreciate this. Craig, you can share this episode with everybody in the group. But happy birthday to Rebecca. That is awesome that I get to do this. Happy birthday shout-outs and stuff like that. It's going to be awesome. It always is awesome. Every time I'm on the air, being joined by all of you. When we come back, you're kind of, going to get, confused and obliterated about everything that's happening. Is TNA being sold? What is going on here? And I know some of you have told me, well, these wrestling websites are saying that another celebrity is also interested in purchasing TNA Impact. Well, I know what I said. Contrary to what I said last week, it is not. It is not the celebrity you're thinking of, the one I mentioned last week. Last week I mentioned how Billy Corgan is trying to get involved in this. He has been involved in the last several weeks, but the celebrity, he is a celebrity, but it's not him. I know. I'm sure I'm going to get all this emailed to me, and I'm surprised nobody's typing this in the chat room, but I can just hear it now. You guys are like, you guys are doing what Steve Austin did, you know, toward the end of his career when he came up with one simple phrase. You guys are like, what? 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 What do you mean it's not Billy Corgan? It's not. It's not at all. So, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And that's just what's happened. Don't worry, you'll hear more about that right after this when we come back.
Hey fans, don't worry, the Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Till now, I've been okay. Able to handle each day, one at a time. Without the touch of your hand, without the glance of your eyes, till now I've been okay. I was
now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Getting right into everything. Taking care of everything really, really fast. Because we have so much to go over, so much to talk about. Now we're going to see what's up in the world of wrestling news. Jake Robertson recently spoke about wanting to teach wrestling psychology. He said that it's something that he wants to do and he's looking forward to it. He says he also knows that the WWE needs teachers to teach wrestling psychology to the younger talent because he knows, like everybody else knows, they don't teach you psychology. They teach you the fundamentals. They teach you how to basically, well, I know it's a catchphrase, and they used it on us in elementary school, but it's more true in the wrestling business because, well, you have to stop, drop, and roll. Basically, that's what wrestling is, right? But everything else that they teach you, and they teach you how to cut promos and stuff like that, but they don't teach you wrestling psychology, which is a real, real sad case when they don't teach you that. You need that. And check out this calendar date coming up for WWE. There are no WWE house shows this weekend as they will be taping extra TV time this next coming week for the holidays. And here is the schedule. As, of course, we all know, this Sunday is the TLC pay-per-view, which will be live in Houston, Texas. I'm pretty sure you're not going to that, right, DDP? If you can't go to that one, then, of course, maybe you got tickets or maybe somebody got you tickets, DDP, to go to Monday Night Raw live from Dallas, Texas. Then, of course, Tuesday will not be a live show. Instead, they will be taping the December 23rd edition of Raw in Austin, Texas. So if you also have tickets for... If you have tickets for the 23rd, you're going to be taped. You won't be live like everybody else will be Monday night. Tuesday has now been changed to a taped edition of Raw in Austin, Texas, for those of you that live in the Austin, Texas area. Wednesday, they will be taping Friday's special Christmas edition of SmackDown in San Antonio, Texas. Thursday is a TV taping for the December 27th edition of SmackDown in Corpus Christi, Texas. And that's basically it for the rest of the calendar year. Because, of course, we can't add any more calendar days to that because, well, 2013 will be over. Can you believe it? Man, I can't believe that this year went by so fast. Just a few short weeks left in the year, and then it will be a brand new year, ladies and gentlemen. WWE talents return to the road on December 26th. Imagine that. They have to go back to work the day after Christmas. Like most jobs in this country, that's what they require you to do. But December 26th will be for the big year-end house show, which will take place for those of you in New York at the world-famous arena in the world, Madison Square Garden. I hope all of you in New York will get ready for that. Well, all the discussions and rumors about TNA being sold have quieted down over the last couple of weeks, and talks within the company have died off. There was, as recently as 2 weeks ago, a major celebrity still interested in buying the company. If the price was right, if the price is legitimate, as Dixie Carter claims it is, and the sale was for complete ownership. We've all heard rumors about country singer John Rich, but that is not confirmed by any means. There's even a report saying that John Rich has actually pulled out of this, but that has not been confirmed yet either. So who is this celebrity that is most fascinated and most abrupt about purchasing TNA Impact Wrestling from Dixie Carter and company? Well, as I told you before the commercial break, everyone said, well, we know who the celebrity is, damn it. Every single son of a bitch told the world, including yours truly right here on Blog Talk Radio, last week, that the celebrity in question was Billy Corgan. No, it's not Billy Corgan, but Billy Corgan is still one of the top leaders that are actually involved in trying to purchase TNA. Hey, that's... You know, more of this will come out, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll find out in the next few weeks. Who is the celebrity that everyone keeps talking about? Where is it really, truly going? And is this what it really seems to be? I'm not sure about that. I can't answer those questions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I gave you guys the title of the show, and I even told you you can subtitle it, you know, that you can even subtitle it, Christmas is Ruined. Because I think from the state of wrestling, Christmas just might be ruined. I'll explain that, like I said, a little later on. You just got to stick around and find out what that's all about. I'm sure you all heard me drop my fork. Yes, that was a fork during the commercial break. You guys are like, what the hell is that guy Matt Alvarez doing over there? Well, I... excuse me while I drink my favorite drink here. Much better. Yeah, I went to a Christmas party this week, and, well, as usual, my friend had packed this whole plate of food inside a Tupperware container at a young adult party that I went to for Christmas. And he put all this food in there. And then, ladies and gentlemen, and then, in the most ironic, stupidest thing that my friend could ever do, he embarrassed himself, made himself look like a jackass. When he's like, I don't want this after all, you take it. I mean, you just put all this food in this little miniature Tupperware box. You know how you go to some Chinese restaurant or something like that? And if you tell them that you want to take the food to go, they'll give you this little plastic thing to put the food in. And they close it all up, and that's what Chinese places do for you. That's what my friend had. Somebody gave him one of these things, and he gave it to me. I was like, you just put all that food in there for nothing, right? He's like, yeah, but it's not really for nothing. It's for you. So that's what I'm eating right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to swing into action, if we can. Going to talk about Monday Night Raw. Also, we've got last night's Impact Wrestling results to talk about and what took place on that show. We've also got to talk about the TLC pay-per-view coming up. No, I'm not going to run down the entire pay-per-view. Because the rest of the pay-per-view is fine. It's fine. It's just the main event. The big main event. It's not the time of year for this. They should have waited until WrestleMania. Like I said, the reason why I keep going over and over it again, because I want to tell you so badly about it, but I'm going to refrain from that. Like I said, these are, over the next few weeks, our Christmas episodes. And you'll also definitely want to come back for next week on the 20th. I came up, thanks to Eric Williams last week on the show, I came up with a awesome, awesome thing to talk about next week, and maybe insert a little fun into the show. You'll see what that is all about for next week. But Monday Night Raw had presented us with more problems than answer solved. Because now this thing makes it look more confusing. Did the writers intend to make this look confusing? I don't know what Guest 364 or DDP or what the rest of the world out there listening, all you guys out there, what you all think about this. I'm not sure what my friend Craig Brooks in Indianapolis sitting in a damn library thinks about all this. Because it just, let's put it like this. Monday Night Raw this week, presented by WWE, they always put the icing on the cake towards the end of the show to let you know what to expect. Well, this week on Raw, they didn't do that with any of the matches. And they also had the Slammy Awards. Which, in dire straits, was a true stretch when they had decided to say, well, just vote on the WWE app. It's not that hard. I'll show you how easy it is to download. And Michael Cole, shut the hell up. We all live in the 21st century. Most of us are 30 years or older. But, you know, I have had a few listeners that say, well, you know, I've been following wrestling since the 1930s. Well, that means you're halfway near your 90s. I'm not referring to that group. I'm referring to the 17-year-olds to, let's say, the 35-year-olds, the people that I grew up with, the generation that I grew up with from the 80s to the 90s to now. But it's not just me. This even goes to people younger than me. I mean, my neighbor, her son, I live in an apartment complex, and my neighbor, she lives downstairs, I live upstairs. Her son just had a birthday party on Saturday, okay? He turned 7 years old. And a few months ago, something had happened because he started showing me this stuff on his mom's old cell phone. And she's like, what are you doing? Because he has this habit of, and we know he gets it from his dad, and dad teaches him bad things about how to shoot people. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. If a cop sees that, you'll get us all in trouble. And I make him think, but I pertain that to him because he's only a kid. But anyways, the moral of the story is, she's like, wait, you've been on that phone for 10 minutes doing something with it. What are you doing? He's like, I downloaded a game. She's not worried about it because her phone is not in usage, like I said. But she's still worried that she might get a bill from a game that he downloaded. And I was like, well, let me check it out. Turns out it's free. He's a 7-year-old. If Michael Cole was to say something to this 7-year-old, he'd be like, yeah, I know how to do that. Whatever. Shut up, dude. It's people that I grew up with, people that are even younger than me, like a 7-year-old, for example. But it's Vince McMahon's way of telling Michael Cole to tell the world, basically what they're saying is, you're all stupid, so we're going to show you how to download an app. Give me a fucking break. What the hell? I'm sure my friend Craig Brooks would not be pleased at all if Michael Cole came to him, got in his face and said, excuse me, sir, I need to show you how to download a WWE app because you look like one of these old farts out here that don't know what the hell you're doing. How dare you, WWE, to do that? To basically, even though they didn't actually say it on Monday Night Raw, but they said it 3 or 4 times through the mouth of Michael Cole, I'm going to show you how to download the WWE app. Very easy. Well, we know it's easy. I can download stuff on my phone anytime I want. I know how to do it. I'm not an idiot. Neither is the rest of the world. And they tried to summarize that by having Daniel Bryan take on Fandango. Now, personally, I thought this was going to be a squash match, and Well, the Daniel Bryan's just going to get one over. But it was a fair fight. But I'm sure a lot of you are wondering, well, what happened with Fandango? Why did he come out 5 minutes later than Summer Rae did? Well, there's some backstage contingency with this because you know how Fandango likes to come out there with that little orange vest on, that little dancing vest that they gave him that he started coming out with when he made his debut. A lot of people made their debut last year. The Shield made their debut. They even were talking with Biggie Langston how he made his debut last year. And Fandango was one of them. But the reason why he came out 5 minutes later than Summer Rae did, she came out there dancing by herself, and she actually forgot the dance moves that they actually do because she's normally used to doing it with him. But he almost forgot about the little vest that he wears. And one of the writers and, of course, TV producer Kevin Dunn, they're like, hey, wait. You can't go out there yet. And now that WWE is live on Monday night, it's like, well, it's a live audience. We're live on television. We're no longer taped for Monday Night Raw. The vest on. We always tell you to go out there with the vest. What the hell is wrong with you? So that was the reason why he came out later than she did. But anyways, he went on to face Daniel Bryan, and of course, it looked like he was going to win, but Daniel Bryan is your winner. Damian Sandow took on Santino Marella. Damian Sandow is the winner. Of course, Biggie Langston, as I mentioned earlier, was joining the guys on commentary, saying that he will be the best Intercontinental Champion more than Damian Sandow because he wanted more. But I find it puzzling that he thanked everybody for the year he's had. Whose dumb fuck idea was it to tell Biggie Langston, it was probably Vince McMahon, to tell him in the headset, well, tell the world thank you for allowing you to perform here. Why would you say thank you when you were a heel last year, Biggie Langston? Nobody liked you. Although now I'm starting to like him, so. But every time I say that, watch. Maybe in the next few weeks, maybe not right away, maybe not overnight. But every time I say that I like somebody that's new and that I feel that they're bringing a breath of fresh air to the wrestling industry, they always end up getting fired or released or whatever you want to call it. Kofi Kingston versus The Miz. The Miz is your winner. These two have had quite the history together ever since September. And we all know that the week before Halloween, The Miz was the one who jumped off the apron and was like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't tag. I'm down here now. I'm not on the ring apron anymore. And they've just been pissing each other off just for the hell of it. But it's mostly been The Miz who's been one-upping Kofi Kingston, but this past week, as we saw after the match, Kofi Kingston laid out The Miz with a Trouble in Paradise right to the jaw. You know, because The Miz had opened up his mouth, and Kofi took the opportunity. You know, when you open your mouth and you're like, like something happened. That's what Miz did. He opened his mouth and just left it hanging, so Kofi Kingston kicked him right there and square in the jaw. Of course, he still came back out later in the 20 minutes later to do another Slammy Award, and the Slammy Award thing was not the Grammys, but that being said, it doesn't matter because nobody really cared for the Slammy Award segment. Certainly not me. Rey Mysterio, The Big Show, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust took on Ryback, Curtis Axel, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro. Rey Mysterio gets the win for his team. Of course, not without, you know, Ryback and Curtis Axel, Jack Swagger, and Antonio, who didn't really play factors into the match until the last 3 minutes. Talk about soft, quick airtime. That was very quick airtime for them. Sin Cara versus Alberto Del Rio. Sin Cara is your winner. You know, and everybody says, well, it's nice that they put the flag, the Mexican flag, around the ring to let everybody know that it's Mexican wrestler versus Mexican wrestler. And I don't know why, but people still keep asking me, hey, wait a minute. How come Sin Cara looked a lot shorter this week versus when he started 3 years ago being a lot taller? Obviously, you can tell what happened. If you can't figure that out, then you must be, well, I don't want to be negative, but I'm sorry, there's no other way to say it, just put it quite bluntly, you must be stupid. Because if he shows up in a mask being a little taller than almost everybody else, you know that basically means that somebody else is now playing Sin Cara. So that was the whole reason why he was a little shorter than Alberto Del Rio this week, because it's somebody else now under the mask. The original guy that was wearing the mask has been fired. He will no longer play the role of Sin Cara. This new shorter guy is, whoever he is. CM Punk versus Dean Ambrose. CM Punk is the winner. Of course, they wanted to remind everybody what's taking place this Sunday at TLC, because CM Punk will have to take on The Shield in a 3-on-1 handicap match. We'll see how that fares. We'll see if CM Punk can get there. The Usos versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Eric Rowan and Luke Harper are your winners. Natalya versus Tamina Snuka. Natalya wins. And of course, last but not least, Michael Cole and JBL had told the world, because you're going to see the last two belts for the very last time because of this humongous deal that's going around, we are calling it the Ascension Ceremony. The Ascension Ceremony. Kind of a stupid name, don't you think? The fact that they think that this is, as Triple H likes to say, what's best for business. And you've been hearing me say that over the last few weeks. Because what it leads to now is a little more common ground than what people like to think. That's what they are. That it can just be something more. And they built this pay-per-view, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, which was supposed to be a decorated influence, immediately, and they did this back in the 70s and the 80s, then they got it even better into the 90s. But the TLC pay-per-view was always supposed to be the next step, logical, after the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Because in theory, you go right into Armageddon, through the Royal Rumble, and keep telling stories like they like to do, and those stories carry you through all the way to WrestleMania. This year, they did not do that. They completely crapped over and forgot about the real, true wrestlers that made Survivor Series the pay-per-view that it won just a few weeks ago. But then right after the Survivor Series, they start talking about the face of the WWE and what it means to be a true champion. 2 weeks ago on Raw, you heard them mention how it will only benefit the entire company if there's only one true undisputed world heavyweight champion or WWE champion. Remember how I said at the top of the show and throughout the broadcast that I've been saying that the Grinch is coming? Well, in the words of Bray Wyatt, he's here.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a...
Yeah. Well, that pretty much leads us right into where we need to go. Yes, this Sunday is the pay-per-view, tables, ladders, and chairs. Yes, we know that Daniel Bryan has to face, you know, his contingency. He's also in a 3-on-1 handicap match, the same as CM Punk is, against The Shield. And, of course, you have the pre-show, which will take place 30 minutes before the pay-per-view. Of course, the pre-shows are now on the Internet via live stream. They will be doing a panel discussion about the TLC pay-per-view. If you care to watch the pre-show on YouTube and on WWE's YouTube channel as well, you can do that this Sunday. Like I said, 30 minutes before the pay-per-view, Mick Foley will be there, along with Booker T and others involved with this panel. We've got all these other matches to watch out for. But the Grinch is coming because, well, the Grinch has already passed. And what I mean by that is, ladies and gentlemen, let's pretend, just for a minute, let's pretend that I already ran down the rest of the pay-per-view card, but now it's time to talk about the main event. The main event that has only taken a month and a half to build. Now is not the time to be building on a unification match. And even though Triple H, I'm not sure how many of you heard about it, but immediately after last week's show went off the air, all last weekend, everybody was basically posting the same videos on social media and on Facebook and other social media sites about this YouTube video where Triple H said that despite everything that Randy Orton's been saying, that he's the face of the WWE, and John Cena saying that he's here to win. But Triple H said it also in the video that no matter what happens at TLC, there will be a winner. He said we're not going to have a draw. There will be no disqualifications this time because of the, you know, tables, ladders, and chairs stipulation. Doesn't matter how badly hurt the competitors are, there will be a winner. Well, ever since that YouTube video of Triple H surfaced about that whole thing, some are actually feeling that this might be a con. Like Triple H is trying to be his own con artist. Well, there's only one person who knows very well how to be a con artist. That, of course, is his father-in-law, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who is still very much in charge of the company behind the scenes. But that's the problem with Triple H. He is not Vince McMahon to be a con artist. Now, I'm sure Vince McMahon is going to help him become the irk of a con artist, but like I said, not in the Vince McMahon feel like you have seen Vince do in the past. This is Triple H. This is somebody completely different who has been in that role of being in charge and being the COO of the company along with his wife, Stephanie McMahon. And now we're going to weigh the pros and cons of this title unification. Because like many wrestling fans, there are two minds over WWE's decision to unify the World Heavyweight and WWE titles at TLC this Sunday. My natural reaction was to call foul on the way this had come about. Part of this doubt stems from the fact that either Randy Orton or John Cena will still be champion after Sunday. That means whoever wins what doesn't matter if it's the world title or the WWE title. One of these two guys will still be a champion in their own right after Sunday. But here's a sinister look of some drafted arguments. There's one definite champion, but there's also one definitive championship belt. Because obviously the WWE's key motivation behind the title unification is that they want a single champion to preside over the entire roster, and in turn, there will be one major title for them to aspire to go for. Well, it is common knowledge that the World Heavyweight Championship has been their number two belt ever since its inception in 2002. WWE has never actually came out and admitted that to be the case, because they must have found the illusion of equality more appealing than the reality of having a runner-up world title. Since the World Heavyweight Championship originally had belonged to WCW Wrestling Organization, and we all know that they are no longer in business today. Image has been wrapped up over the years. And the World Heavyweight title actually went on and put people and different wrestlers basically in second place. Possibly the biggest potential, though, for this, you know, change is that the potential of unifying the world titles and what effect it could have on the Intercontinental and United States Championships, whether it be the world title or the WWE title or both. Because whatever happens and whatever the outcome is this Sunday could very well affect all the other titles in the company currently as we speak. And then it also equates to star power. The star power is the real danger of unifying these titles, because now it's becoming harder to become a world champion. Now, to some people, that sounds like a bad thing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But that just makes the bar that much higher to go for in terms of storylines, in terms of how far wrestlers are willing to go to get that job done. Now, I know I've said before that, you know, with them eliminating one title, it could be huge, because it would give an opportunity to bring back some of the other secondary titles. You know, the hardcore title. You know, as I said, the TV title, But as I said 2 weeks ago, if this helps bring the secondary titles back, and I know Vince McMahon doesn't want secondary titles, but think about it. Up your merchandise. People will be buying T-shirts. You'll definitely make a lot of money. You'll lose money, of course, with the WWE programs that you hand out. But you can also make up for that with ticket sales, merchandise, and, of course, the new customary toys and the toys that they promote with Kmart. Besides, I told you all before that I went to one pay-per-view so far. That was back in 2011 with the Elimination Chamber at the Oakland Coliseum, right next door in Oakland, California. And at first I thought, well, my first pay-per-view ever, I've never actually seen one of these programs. So I'm like, well, I know that they're $15, so I'll buy one. So I buy a program, and it's nothing. I'm surprised Coffee isn't here in the chat room, although he might be, and Bob Talkmator might be acting stupid. I'll check that in a minute. But if Coffee is here or not, it's like this. I'm sure some of you, if this was the old Block Talk Radio website, I would ask you all to raise your hands in the chat room. However, they took that feature away. You can no longer do that. But if I was to ask you to raise your hands and say, how many of you bought the stupid Primus strategy guide for video game consoles? Because they tell you, and it's false advertisement, by the way, but they tell you, buy the book. Buy the book. If you buy this video game book, you will no longer have problems or difficulty passing a certain level in a video game because we have all the answers right here in this book. All you have to do is buy the book for $19.95 or less in retail stores. And now look, Primus Strategy Guide Games, their books are not selling, period. And over the years, they've declined and even brought down the prices. I mean, hell, I was at Walmart on just this week on Tuesday. I was at Walmart and I saw one there. They want $9 for it. Because these strategy guides don't really help you. It's nothing but a bunch of hogwash written down for a video game that basically is just a barrage of jokes and indecisive answers when it's actually supposed to be about the video game that you have that you're trying to beat a certain level. It's the same thing with the WWE, you know, books that they have, these programs. When you go to a pay-per-view, they try and get you to buy a program. But it's really just, it's the same thing as the Primus video game books. WWE does the same thing. They tell you, hey, we have these great programs, great featured articles in here. But when you buy a program at a WWE pay-per-view, it's basically nothing. It's basically just a history fact. It's basically their history book. Because they think we're stupid. You can go to... I wouldn't be surprised if you're planning on buying a program this Sunday at the TLC pay-per-view, let me tell you right now, please don't do it. It's not worth it. I can see it right now. I can just imagine. Page one. Would you like to know the history of Sheamus? Here's the history. Here's where Sheamus debuted and when he started with us, and how many titles he's won. Isn't that the same stuff they tell us in the video games that they produce anyway? Yes, it is. But check this out. Check this out. The other problem with doing this right now, as I said earlier, the Grinch has already ruined Christmas. Let's pretend Christmas was yesterday, okay? Let's pretend yesterday was the 25th. And all this stuff happened. And now you're trying to look forward to WrestleMania, right? Let's pretend that WrestleMania is in 3 weeks. But now they don't have a quality pay-per-view lineup because they already screwed that up when they put this unification match on a different pay-per-view. And you know what that leads it to? They might as well call it the Boys Club, because it's going to leave the Boys Club effect with all the emphasis being placed on being, as Randy Orton's been saying, the face of the WWE. That limits a lot of potential to some superstars to reach new heights. In the past, the World Heavyweight Championship has allowed many wrestlers to become a world champion without having to take the WWE title route. The WWE title route, that is, there are plenty of worthy, talented wrestlers on the roster who now will probably never get the chance to become world champion because of this unification match. Along with the likes of Antonio Cesaro, Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, all great competitors, but are they championship material? The World Heavyweight Championship was also a prize given to veteran wrestlers in place of the top belt. The last championship runs of The Big Show, Mark Henry, Edge, Kane, and Christian will probably never happen under the new system, because they're either forced to become a hastily thrown together tag team, much like Mysterio and The Big Show are right now, or be forced to slum in pursuit of a mid-card title. And final problem with them doing this right now, you see, I still don't understand why they booked this unification match to happen right now. I mean, you've heard me say that there's only 2 weeks left in the year. Why couldn't they wait? Couldn't they have waited for this? Because you got the Royal Rumble coming up next. The January Royal Rumble pay-per-view every January. You could have had Randy Orton tell the world at the Royal Rumble that nothing's going to happen at WrestleMania because I'm the face of the WWE and I'm the only true champion besides that idiot, John Cena. And then John could have came out and retorted against him, and then they could have, where they are for this Sunday, WrestleMania could have been the unification matchup. Because in wrestling, you're supposed to build to an even bigger climax than the year before, especially at WrestleMania. And the last and final point that I want to make about this is that, you know, John Cena said something very particular on Monday night. He did speak a lot of truth to Randy Orton, okay? He really, really did. And as much as I hate John Cena, as much as I chant along with all of you when they say that Cena sucks, I'm chanting right there, right along with all of you. Because he does. I mean, what is the five-knuckle shuffle? What is this you can't see me crap? And somehow those two things make you champion nowadays? What the hell has the wrestling world come to? I mean, what has it come to? Because the importance of wrestling, as I said last month, What did I say the day after Thanksgiving? The day after Thanksgiving on that show, I said that the purpose of wrestling is to send the fans home happy. No matter if it's a two-hour ride, if it's a three-hour ride, if you're booking matches, if you're telling the world that you're the greatest wrestling organization in the world, you do everything you can to make those fans go home happy. Now, I understand that, you know, Hogan did a couple of interviews. His first real interview with Larry King came about in 2002 when he told the world about, his misconceptions in wrestling and why things happen when they happen when he was with WCW. And he said because, you know, the lights were on, Hogan said, but nobody was home. Because he was trying to figure out why Bill Watts, who's not really a people person back in WCW, Vince Russo, and several others in charge of WCW back then, he said, wait, I can't just turn heel. There's no reason to. But he said, well, because they saw more of an influx of people starting to come in. At first, it just used to be, and it's true, it's the only honest thing Hulk Hogan has ever said over the years. Everything else is a bunch of lies. But it's true what he told Larry King back in 2002 when he said, when they told me what was happening and when I saw it for the first time before I actually made the change, I wasn't Hollywood Hulk Hogan, but I was on my way to becoming there. I saw what they were talking about because he said that they were in Syracuse one time for a house show. And he said, well, it was weird because, you know, there weren't any drunk guys there. There weren't any, you know, hobos screaming at the girls, take off your bra and all this. He's like, no, that's when the light bulb went off because I saw families and kids and normal people actually coming to this house show. He said, and then that's when the light bulb went off. Well, now we're going to have to start sending home people home happy with how we end our shows now. That's true. That is so true. But to do this match now, no, I don't agree with it. And those are the pros and cons of what has happened in the world of wrestling. Because there is no way, despite what Triple H said in his video that I told you guys about, where he said, well, we're doing this, we're doing that, and as it concerns the unification match, there is no disqualification. Anything goes. There will be a winner. There really will be. Mark my words. Well, Triple H, Vince McMahon, the rest of you, my words, Mark Matt Alvinson's words, when I tell you that I don't think that's going to happen. I believe that this Sunday in the main event, they're going to do something completely different. No, I don't think it has anything to it would have nothing to do with screwing somebody over. The only guy that they screwed over was Daniel Bryan, and John Cena mentioned that on Raw, and he even helped Daniel Bryan do the yes, yes, yes chant because they were in Daniel Bryan's hometown this past Monday night. But like I said, final point is, the other main reason why you should not even be having this match to unify these titles is they're telling the world, as I said earlier when I started talking about this, they're telling the world that these are the reasons why John Cena is the most legitimate champion. Here's the reasons why Randy Orton is the most legitimate champion, the real champion in the company. No, no, no. That is bullshit. It really is. It's complete and utter BS. Nobody on the side of Randy Orton or John Cena, neither one has actually shown anybody else, especially me, how you have legitimately won the title. Oh, sure, having Triple H at SummerSlam kick Daniel Bryan in the nuts and then give him the pedigree? Only to have him get knocked out by CM Punk back then. And then to have Shawn Michaels count the 1-2-3. Daniel Bryan did win at SummerSlam. Then he got the sweet chin music on the same pay-per-view. And that's how SummerSlam ended. Going into all these other pay-per-views, Survivor Series was a misconstrued conception of who actually is the legitimate champion. They never even properly finished that storyline, which shows you the unremoteless account of what the writing team has been doing has been totally, totally lackluster. Thing else that they've been doing, including what I mentioned earlier, since Kevin Dunn is the guy in charge of TV production and what the commentators say on the microphone through their headsets, Kevin Dunn, you may be in charge of TV production, but you listen here, you son of a bitch. You listen up and you listen good. Get off this idea about Michael Cole needing to tell us like we're a bunch of three-year-olds how to download an app. None of us, well, some of us might be younger than that, but remember what I said earlier, Mr. Kevin Dunn, that my neighbor's kid knows how to download stuff onto her old phone. She thinks she's going to get a bill for it, and I said, but that phone's not in service anymore, right? You told me that yourself. She's like, no, that phone doesn't work anymore. Well, then you're not going to get a bill. Don't worry about it. And then my other neighbor, because we're all neighbors here, and her son did the same thing last week. She's like, I don't know how he downloaded all these things on my phone. But there's like five different games. I only like one of them. And I told my other neighbor, I said, I'll check your phone too like I checked hers. And I checked my other neighbor's out, and her son did the same thing. I told my other neighbor, I told her son, who's almost on his way into being 7 years old, so they're almost the same age, I said, these are all free. He said, yeah, I know. I said, how did you know how to get free games on your mom's phone? He said, oh, because I just know how to do that. I said, oh, okay. Acting like I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm trying to make him feel like, I basically made him feel like he's smarter than me. Even though that's not true, I've known about technology way before him and my other neighbor's son was born. But it's true, though. They're not three-year-olds, but hey. So Kevin Dunn needs to get off of this, stop smoking this weed about, actually, that's what it is. Let's call it the weed app. He's on this app called this weed called the app. He needs to stop smoking that weed app. Tell Michael Cole, don't worry about telling us how to do it. I mean, because Google Play already does that for you. Good grief. I'm just really not sure what is going to happen with the main event, with the entire pay-per-view. I actually hope that Triple H has actually got something up his sleeve to not actually even make a champion. I hope that somebody interferes, and if somebody interferes and the pay-per-view goes off with no finish or whatsoever, I won't be booing like the rest of the world. I'm not going to be chanting bullshit. I'll actually be happy about that. But then again, like I said, we'll see. And we'll see what happened with TNA last night with their show right after this.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Man, I love these new Red Button Roast coffees. It is exactly what I need. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Tell me about it. This French vanilla one is a great way to start the day.
Did you just say, tell me about it and then keep on talking? Because I can't really tell you about it if you keep on talking afterward.
And you did wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
I know. Tell me about it.
New Red Button Roast Coffee and Premium Breakfast Burritos. Now available with egg whites. This is how you Sonic.
Child you're holding is the greatest. is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Oh, oh, oh.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Of course, you all know that I hate this, and I know you hate it too. Because we're almost out of time. If I could stay here for 24 hours doing this, I would do it. A whole 24-hour show. Yeah, that would be cool. Because, hey, I'm not doing anything tomorrow night. Well, kind of. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get back into this. Now, last night with Impact Wrestling presented a recap with AJ Styles and Dixie Carter's drama from the end of last week's show. Styles was showing, saying that if Dixie Carter wants her title back, she'll need to come to Gainesville, Georgia to get the TNA title from him. And Rockstar Spud was showing driving a car and talking on his cell phone. He left a message for Dixie Carter in which he said he was headed to Gainesville to get the title for her from AJ Styles. Now, I know a lot of you are surprised and shocked because of what you saw on wrestling forums and stuff like that this week. Reports came in as late as Sunday night saying that AJ Styles is no longer with the company, that he's been let go. Would he go to WWE? And some people are saying, yeah, he'll go to the WWE. He'll go work for them and not TNA anymore. And then you probably got even more confused when you saw him on television last night. Just like with the whole Jim Harbaugh thing that I mentioned. Remember, everything, with the way the internet works, thanks to the internet, thanks to TMZ, stories like this are not always true. Just a rumor. But if it does become true, if he indeed leaves TNA to go work for WWE, trust me, you'll hear the truth from me. And, it just didn't feel like TNA. They didn't feel like themselves. It felt like, I don't know, I can't explain it, but last night, Jeremy Borash stood in the ring and he set up the Feast or Fired match. Yes, you heard me correctly, ladies and gentlemen. They are bringing back the Feast or Fired pay-per-view. This is just a build-up, a lead-up to go towards that awesome event. Borash pointed to the four briefcases that were set up on the table, and he noted that one has a TNA world title shot, the other briefcase had an X Division title shot, the third briefcase is a tag team title shot, and the fourth and final briefcase, only a pink slip. He then said, well, it's now time to spin the wheel of Dixie Carter. If we're going to spin the wheel of Dixie, she's not here to do it, so I'm going to do it for her. But Kurt Angle's music hit, and he came down and interrupted Jeremy Borash. Angle headed to the ring, and he took the microphone from Borash and said, get the hell out of my ring. Angle then proceeded to knock over the table, ruining all the briefcases, and the briefcase in turn knocked over Dixie's wheel. No pun intended. About Dixie's wheel. Get it? Dixie's wheel. Angle called out Bobby Roode, madly, who immediately came out. And he said, well, what's up with your attitude tonight, Kurt Angle? Do you want to fight and go right now? He said, well, as much as I would love to, that's not going to happen. Not tonight. Not ever. He said that's because he is the one who should be upset because he was eliminated from the title tournament because he slipped and fell through a table. So basically, they're having teenage writers are making it worse for themselves more than WWE is. All these writing teams from these different wrestling organizations, they basically feel that having Robert Roode act like a child and throw a temper tantrum and say that the only reason that he lost is because of last week. He said, no, that was wrong. I accidentally slipped and fell through a table. My shoes did it. The wrestling boots, they broke the table. So I should still be in this tournament, but I'm not. So Roode and Angle bickered off the microphone for a bit. Then they couldn't handle anymore, and, well, you know, the explosions happened. They just started beating the hell out of each other. Everything pointing to final resolution. But first they have to get through this Feast or Fired match. And it was funny because, you know, Angle threw four or five punches to Robert Roode's head, Bobby Roode, I should say, since he changed his name over the summer, until referees and security interfered. And if you think you saw Pat Kenny from ROH representing security, that was him. He was helping out as security last night. Al Snow ran out to help keep them apart. They failed, which gave Kurt Angle an opportunity. Actually, it gave Roode an opportunity to break free from Al Snow and kick Angle, as Jerry Lawler used to say, where the sun doesn't shine. Let's just leave it at that, okay? Roode then challenged Angle to a best-of-three falls match for next week's Final Resolution-themed show, which basically means that next week will more than likely be another free pay-per-view. But it's not really a pay-per-view because they only have 2 hours on television, not three or four. And this kind of ruins TNA's concept of having pay-per-views when they're having their pay-per-views for free on television. Makes no sense. And they wonder where their money's going. Well, look where your money's going, Dixie Carter. Jesus Christ. Mike Tenay ends up plugging all the next upcoming events. Taz is trying to be his normal, different self now that the Ace of the Eighth are over with. Trying to act like a regular color commentator. That's refreshing. Not. Christopher Daniels and Kazarian took on Joseph Park and Eric Young. Bad Influence actually got the better of Park early on. Kazarian held Park while Daniels slapped him around. Young cleared Bad Influence from the ring, then yelled at Park to get up. Placed his own tag partner in a headlock and said, I'm sorry. Young then punched Park a few times. Then Joseph Park, after Eric Young left, after everybody left, he got up and somehow he was bleeding all over. He was definitely confused as to where the blood came from. And he said, this is about Abyss. And then Bad Influence came back, and they jumped him from behind. But then Joseph Park ended up choke-slamming Kazarian, then performed a backbreaker on Daniels. A short time later, Park performed the Black Hole Slam on Kazarian, and he won without his tag team partner, Eric Young. Which it tells me I'm not really sure of what I saw last night, because what I saw was not the Grinch, wasn't even Santa Claus. It was just normal, straight wrestling, which is what I like. But to have this happen without Eric Young is kind of sad, I guess you could say. And, of course, you know, they're really, really pushing the Ethan Carter III, showing him on the Titantron there in the arena. Everybody's watching him get a nice full head massage. Yeah, I wish I could get a massage from the girl that was giving him one in the video on the Titantron. Wow. I have not gotten a massage from a girl in a very long time, DDP. I'm sure DDP gets that more than I do. I rarely ever get a woman to touch me like that. I need a back massage. I need a leg massage. I'm sure everybody saw my gripe on social media last night where I said that I'm sitting at my computer desk and all of a sudden my right leg just started, I don't know if it fell asleep or what. And I even posted that I hope it's not a Charlie horse, and that would suck and I might have to go to the hospital, but I'm okay now because I woke up this morning and then, hey, I felt fine when I woke up this morning, but anyways, that's besides the point. But they really are pushing EC3, and his nickname is. Taz even gushed and was babbling about how creative he is and even labeled him a must-see competitor. Then Sting came out to challenge EC3, and he said, just because you're a Carter doesn't exempt you from the ring. I'm challenging you to a match in a Feast or Fired. Let's have a Feast or Fired match, or we can just fight right now. And EC3 told Sting that he accepts the challenge. And it really didn't go nowhere. They went to commercial, and then Rockstar Spud, when they came back from commercial, now he's at a gas station, and he asked the guy, excuse me, do you know where I could find AJ Styles? And in Rockstar Spud British voice, the man told Spud that he and his friends usually hang out at a bar a mile up the road. Yeah, well, these vignettes and stuff like that, basically, they're just a waste of time. Because TNA writers, they don't know how to get from point A to point B with their storylines anymore. So they just figured, let's just squash all of them, rush through them together. Yeah, that'll make us money. That'll make us more profitable. That will, and then they stop and they go, we don't know what else that will do. No wonder you're trying to sell your company, Dixie Carter, because you realize you've lost it all. Your writers don't know what they're doing anymore. Talent morale is very, very low and down. They just need, well, actually, I was going to use a Energizer battery reference, but no, forget it. They've already went through the Energizer battery. They must use like a 4-pack because those batteries are dead and gone, and writers don't have ideas anymore. I wonder why that is. Eric Bischoff certainly can't help. I mean, he can, but he can't. Because he, well, as I told you 2 weeks ago, they have demanded that he work strictly from home now on his computer. I don't know what that would entitle, working from home on your computer. Is that to send them storyline ideas or business meeting proposals? I'm not really sure what that entitles. So, anyway, Gail Kim and Lady Tapa were in the ring, and Gail said it's another week of her open challenge. She's been doing this since even before Thanksgiving, so it's been going on for about 6 weeks now. She said the competition has been a little too below average. She asked Lady Tapa if she agreed, and once again, the writers didn't really have Lady Tapa do anything other than stand there holding the knockout title belt for Gail Kim. You know, it would be nice if Lady Tapa, if they could have her shake her head yes or no, or just try her mic skills. They probably already have. Maybe that's why they don't ever give her a microphone to talk. Maybe they know she's not good on the mic, maybe. But I'm like, have her shake her head or do something that adds depth and emotion to what Gail Kim is saying. Otherwise, don't even have her come out with Gail Kim. Because every time she comes out with Gail Kim, unless she's wrestling, other than that, Lady Tapa is invincible. And people don't even notice her. Because I'll say it again. It didn't look right. When Gail Kim looked right at her and said, I think the competition here has been very bland. Not enough women wrestlers. They're all afraid of me, right? Don't you think so, Lady Tapa? That's basically like saying if I was to say something to DDP or Eric Williams, like if he was on the line and if he didn't answer me, or if guest 1364 was to call in and I'd ask him a question and he'd say, and just hang up. That's basically what they're doing with her. It makes no sense. I think it's time for Lady Tapa, even though she's been there for only 6 months. Doesn't matter. Her dad is Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He can train her and do all the other aspects at home, which would help her become a singles competitor. Not being Gail Kim's lackey to just stand there every week, week after week after week. Because, well, if you use that W again, I know I used W-E-E-K, but this time change it to W-E-A-K, because that's what it is. It makes Lady Tapa look weak. It makes her not even look strong to Gail Kim just being a fucking lackey. Okay? Anyway, the rest of the show went on. James Storm and Gunner, Magnus and Hardy, and last night was basically just about congratulating each other on what they did on the last pay-per-view. It wasn't really much wrestling. I mean, they did have Chris Sabin versus Austin Aries for the X Division title. And, of course, Chris Sabin did win the X Division title in just 6 minutes and 15 seconds. And then Mike Tenay went to, promote the Feast or Fired matches that were taking place last night. Curry Man immediately left the ring and headed backstage. The announcer explained that it's a game of Russian roulette and that one of the 4 briefcases hanging above the ring contains a pink slip. There's a bunch of crowd-pleasing dives over the top rope and a group of wrestlers on the floor. But it was Ethan Carter III who ended up pulling down the briefcase. Then Zema Ion grabbed briefcase number 2, and he left. Austin Aries performed a 450 splash on Furnham and Barnes, and Taz referred to as the Nerds. Remember, the Nerds are still there. Chavo ended up pulling down briefcase number 4 after getting help from Hernandez. Although later in the match, Storm was about to pull a briefcase down when Gunnar tripped him up and took briefcase number 1 for himself. EC3, Zima, Ion, Chavo Guerrero, and Gunnar all won briefcases last night. After the match, TNA told viewers that they could find out the fate of the briefcase, and the viewers, who were the winners, next week. Then before they went off the air, Dixie Carter was at a restaurant when Jeff Hardy joined her. She said, "I didn't expect to see you here." And she lowered the blind so the camera couldn't pick up their conversation at some random restaurant, and, well, sad to say that just like it's time for me to go off the air, that's how TNA ended their show, with nothing really important other than Dixie Carter and Jeff Hardy having a conversation for no reason at all. That's not how you end a wrestling show. Good grief. First WWE, now TNA. And it's like I've been saying, all they're doing is copying the same thing from WWE. I thought Vince Russo was supposed to be this great person who could come up with newer ideas each and every day. Well, I guess those days of Vince Russo are gone. Or maybe he wasn't truly lying all these years. I don't know what to tell you, other than I'm out of here. Come back next week. We've got more in store for you. I've got those other ideas, too, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I mentioned that already. Take care. We'll see you next week. Peace. I'm out of here.